the herald angels sing. The fourth verse of that song brings up a point that you will not hear among the preachers or sermons of the, I'm talking about the religious world in general today. It says, Adam's likeness now efface, stamp thine image in its place. Now here it is. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. If you read a lot of the old ministers in 1700s, 1600s, 1800s, they talked about something called the federal headship. How many of y'all have ever heard that term? The term means that as one is, so are you. And the Bible speaks very explicitly and plainly about us having two federal heads. One of them is the first man, Adam, and the other one is the second man, second Adam, and Bible speaks of that about the last Adam. To understand this, we've got to understand what happened in the garden with Adam. And where I'm really going to talk about this, I want to read something in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, I'm going to back up to 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Now that's a whole sermon in itself. But that atonement, broken down, means at one meant, akin to being reconciled, akin to be made right. You're made at peace with God by Jesus Christ. And we have received it by Him at His hand because of His sacrifice. Now, he starts in verse 12, says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Amen. Now, I want us to go back a little bit. I don't want to get off too much in the garden, but there are some things that we received because Adam sinned. When Adam was in the garden, he had a great relationship with God. He was able to talk with Him face to face because he was without sin before the fall. I want us to remember the state that he was in and the benefits that were afforded to him before sin entered into the world. Did you know that God told Adam that he could freely eat of every tree in the garden? That includes the tree of life. Before sin entered into the world, Adam was free to partake of the tree of life. All he had to do was just walk up to it and take that fruit, and he would have had eternal life. The sinless man, the man that was created naturally good, without sin, had the ability to choose life on his own free will, if you want to put it that way. What happened? What were the ramifications of sin entering into the world? Oh, there was a lot of them. God gave him one law. This naturally good man. This man that was created without sin by the very hand of God, by his voice and the breath that he breathed into him that gave him that life. He gave that man in that state one law, one commandment. He said, you can eat everything, but not of this tree, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. At that point, the only thing that Adam knew was good. Everything that he knew was good. He did not know deception. He did not know death. He did not know trouble. He did not know sin. He did not know anything that was ungodly. And in that state, as naturally good man, what did he do? He partook of the very thing that God told him not to. Being a naturally good man, partook of the one thing and broke the one commandment that God told him, don't do it. What were the ramifications of that? God said, in the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Thou shalt surely die. Did Adam die then? I mean, his natural life? Nah, he lived 900 something years after that, or however many. I imagine that happened pretty fast after he was, after God gave him that commandment and formed Eve. But I don't want you to leave this understanding that every person from that point on was conceived in sin. And look at the effects of it, because the very first son that they had murdered his brother. Murdered him. Boy, it didn't take depravity long to rear its ugly head, did it? We don't have to go to the murder to figure that out. We can see that by what Adam, the first thing that Adam did when God called out his name in the garden, said, Adam, where you at? Now, God knew exactly where Adam was. He wanted Adam to know that God knew where he was. And he says, we were naked and afraid, so we hid ourselves. And God asked him a question. Who told you you was naked? But I don't want us to leave here without some balm to be put on it, because what did Adam try to do to cover up his own sinfulness? They sewed them fig leaves together with grapevines or something, I don't know. A pitiful attempt by us of trying to cover up our sin. And it was insufficient at the very best. And so when he did all this, it didn't take sin long to start proving itself in our lives, because what did he do? He says, the woman you gave me, The woman you made me gave me of the fruit and gave and let me and made me eat it. Trying to blame God for his condition. Boy, that's pitiful. And then when he went to Eve, what did she say? She said, the devil made me do it. And both of them were blaming the wrong people. And of course, we know that God had something to say to all of them. And in here it says that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That doesn't just mean that... I want us to be very clear with this. It's not that we were conceived good and that there's good in everybody and we die after we commit our first sin. Because if that was the case, how in the world would there be any infant mortalities? Any stillbirths? That's not possible. Now, he says, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. When he says all have sinned, he's not talking about us practicing our sinfulness. He's talking about us having died in Adam because of Adam's sin, and Adam represented the whole human race because he was the first man. Oh, I want to go back to the garden real fast. And you know what another ramification of that? That sin was that God placed a cherubim and a flaming sword around that tree of life to keep the way of the tree of life, that man might no longer come and partake of that fruit. God protects it by His own hand so that man is unable to reach forth and take hold of the tree of life by his own will, by his own power, by his own authority. Now, Adam did a lot of stuff for us, didn't he? And weren't none of it good. Now, he says, for that all have sinned. And for you Bible students, which I hope is every one of you, there is a parenthesis, a parenthetical expression started here, and it goes on down all the way until the end of verse 17. He's going to explain some things about this. And he says, for until the law, sin was in the world. That means from the time that Adam fell until God gave the law to Moses, which was 400 years after this, I believe. I can't remember. I think that's about right. Sin was in the world. Yeah, this is Adam to Moses. I think it's 400 years. Now, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. That meant the punishment for a particular sin was not imputed because God had not given them His law. But death still reigned. Right? They still died. Why did they die? It's because God decreed it to be that way because Adam had sinned. The punishment for Adam's sin was death. Now, I don't like being punished for other people's problems or other people's disobedience. Well, it don't matter whether we like it or not. It is so.
That's right.
It is so. We were represented in Adam in that garden when he disobeyed God, and all of the punishment that for that particular sin was death upon all. Every human being that has ever been or ever will be conceived in the womb by man. You understand that? Conceived in the womb by man is a sinner and will die. Why? Because of they were represented by Adam. He is their federal head. Now, he goes on. He says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, and it still is. Even over them, but the issue is that the death still reigned when the law had, even when the law had not given. Why? Because even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Talking about Christ. He's the figure of him that was to come. Adam was. Now, these people had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Why? Because there was, it was not possible for them to sin, to sin in a similar manner. Because, first of all, they were conceived in sin. They weren't created good and very good, sinless. That's one reason why they couldn't. The other reason why they couldn't is because Adam's sin was was disobeying God's direct commandment in partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That didn't just apply to Adam and Eve. It applied to everyone after that. Ooh, this is big. And it has some far-reaching implications for every one of us. Death reigned. But it says that Adam is a figure of him that was to come. But this figure is in the same manner, but with opposing outcomes. That's why he says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. This is some great stuff in here. Because I don't like it when I suffer for other people's disobedience and sin. But boy, I sure do like it when you start talking about me being a beneficiary of something that I didn't do. It's really akin to an inheritance, right? My mom and daddy, I mean, this is not true, but let's say my mom and daddy were very wealthy. And they died and left all of it to me. I'm not the one that worked for it, but I was a beneficiary of it. Do you know that's what we are? Because Christ now, I'm getting ahead of myself, but Christ now is our federal head.
Amen.
To those that are in Christ. The Apostle Paul talks about this. He talks about in Christ a lot. Now, I'm going to start reading. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more by the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses. You get that? It's of many offenses unto justification. So that many offenses doesn't just cover what we did in Adam, but it covers our particular, individual, and personal sins. Many offenses.
Right.
It covers many offenses, and Lord, I've done plenty. Hallelujah. But that said, it didn't just fix up Adam. Hallelujah. That this is personal for me. This is many offenses, mine and yours. It took care of all the offenses of all of His children, all at the same time, all at once, when He cried up on the cross and said, "It is finished, my friends." And when He was raised again for our justification, that let me know, that let you know that God accepted His offering, and because He did, we're going to reign and live with Him above. Hallelujah for that.
Sir.
Now, whew, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more. You know, there's more with God than we can ever imagine. Adam did a lot of bad stuff, but God did more. He did more. Therefore, well, and for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now, he's talking about the law of federal headship, or the law of representation. That means that you and I and every human being ever conceived on this earth was represented in Adam. Not by, well, by too, but in him, more specifically. The Apostle Paul tells the church at Corinth in this wonderful chapter of resurrection, chapter 15, he restates this law in a little bit different way. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, I'm starting verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now, what does that mean? It means that there were a lot of folks that died from the time that Adam, since Adam died and everybody else that died had died, up until the time that Christ died, they slept in Christ. But when Christ was resurrected, He was the first fruits or representative of the whole. That's what first fruits are. First fruits is a representative of the whole. We can go back and look at some of the things that God said about the offering of the first fruits. And if they offered that, you know, that's when they had a crop. And for sake of time, let's say they went out there and they picked a bucket full of wheat or whatever it was, and they waved it before the Lord, and if the Lord accepted it, then the whole field was accepted. Jesus Christ is the first fruits of them that slept. Now, and become the first fruits of them that slept. 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so, meaning after the same manner, in Christ shall all be made alive. Now what does that mean? That means that everybody that's represented by Adam is going to die or be separated from God. Because Adam didn't do anything for you spiritually, but he caused your natural death. You were, and to be sinned. Now, just in the same manner that we are in Adam, every human being is in Adam, represented by him. So it says, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, does that mean that all of the people that are in Adam are going to be alive or made alive? No, it does not. It says that all of those that are in Christ shall be made alive. That's what it means. That those that are represented by Christ, those that are in Christ shall be made alive. So we're talking about the law of representation here, that Adam represents all of human family, and God and Christ represents all of His family that are represented by Him, the elect, the predestinated, those that are in God before the world began. Just like Brother Chuck was saying, that He declared the end from the beginning, and He could do that. He's God. And so we're in Christ. And I want to talk about this. Talking about this law of representation. We can see this, and you can find this in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 9. We'll go over there, and this is a good way for us to understand this situation. Now, he's talking about Melchizedek, and I don't want to get off into that. But we need to understand something about Melchizedek, that this man, Abraham, came and paid tithes unto Melchizedek after the slaughter of the kings. Okay, now, we're going to start in verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, talk about Melchizedek, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people, according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they came out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may say also, here it is. Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. That's what the point is. Levi was Abraham's great-grandson. Not his son, his great-grandson wasn't even thought about by Abraham, was not even yet in existence. You know, you had Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Levi was one of Jacob's boys. He was one of 12 of Jacob's boys. How in the world did Levi pay tithes in Abraham, because Abraham did it as his representative to Melchizedek, and so Levi paid. When Abraham paid the tithes, it was just like Levi had paid the tithes to Melchizedek, and in that same way, Jesus Christ as being your federal head, your representative to God, when He paid the price for you, it's like you are free because of Him, and God sees you as clean through His blood.
Amen.
We're represented in Christ. Just like Levi was blessed and paid tithes in Abraham because of what Abraham had done, because he was his father. Now, if you're represented by Christ, your tithes have been paid to God.
That's right.
That's shouting ground to me.
Thank you, Jesus.
To me, that when I see that it's been that my life, all the sinfulness that I have done has been paid for by Christ, and all my wrongs have been made right by Him, it makes me want to shout because I can rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ because I could not pay my own tithes. I couldn't pay 1%. I couldn't pay 0.5% because nothing I have is worth anything to God. As far as making reconciliation, now there's a lot of things I have that's worth something to God, because He paid the price for me. And He loved me. That's some good stuff. You start thinking about what Christ did. You start thinking about the position you have in Christ, and that He represented you on that cross, and that He not only represented you then, but He takes your prayers now and gives them to God. Not only that, but He sent a comforter to you to let you know that you got a home, that you're going to be with Him one day, that your sins have been paid for. Have you ever done something to somebody and couldn't make it right? And it hurt your heart? Think about how bad that hurt you to another person. Now think about the things that you've done against God. And you can't make it right. But you know who made it right? Jesus made it right. He made it right with God. And when you're like the Apostle Paul, and the commandment comes to you, he says, sin revived and I died. He said the commandment came that then Paul's sins began to become real to him, and they began to bother him. They were exceeding sinful just because of the light that came to him now, that all the sins that he had committed were against God. And he recognized things that he thought he was doing right for God was really sinful. Sin revived and I died. What was Paul's response at that point? Fell on the ground and he said, Lord, who art thou? And what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? God told him to get up. Get up, Paul. I'm going to tell you what I want you to do. And Paul was not disobedient in those instructions, was he? We ought not to be disobedient in ours. If God's telling us to do something, we need to do it. Aren't you glad you're represented by Christ? He's your counselor, right? He's your lawyer, in effect. He represents you. And you know the court that He represents you in? The courts of glory. who could lay anything? I love Romans. Who could lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Men may charge you. Men may try to get you to doubt what God has done for you. Yea, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, may bring an accusation against you in your mind. But I got better news for you than what he'll tell you. My news for you is that you've got a representative in heaven, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he paid your debt that you could not pay. Hallelujah. If there's any here that have a desire to walk worthy of the vocation that God called you to, you may come and honor God by being baptized and following Him in obedience. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.